Hello and welcome to the Ryersonian Podcast for the week of October 7th. I'm Samantha Fernandez.
And I'm Amanda Klein. We're bringing you Ryerson's freshest news.
And the top stories of the week from across Canadian university campuses.
In this week's episode, a men's issues student group tries to get official group status at Ryerson. Our student union ranking results are in, and Ryerson's continuing education student union exec has locked out two full-time employees.
And here to talk basketball with us in studio is the Ryersonian's Kim Brown. She went to Kingston with the Rams this weekend for the Queen's Invitational Men's Basketball Tournament. She's going to give us a slam dunk report on what went down and an inside look on what it's like to travel with the team.
A men's issues student group is at it again. They tried to get official group status on campus last year, but the Ryerson Student Union refused. This year, they're trying to form a group without the support of the RSU, said a representative of the group at a University of Toronto event last week. Canadian Association for Equality board member Adam McPhee says the group is a forum for men to speak about issues that affect them.
So a men's center, I think, is just a great place to have people being able to have that talk. If it's just guys talking in a circle about their different issues and whatever those are, and you can then switch to different groups. Guys talking about prostate cancer if they get diagnosed early, guys talking about suicide, guys talking about relationship issues, guys who have been sexually victimized. There's so many different topics that men can talk about where they have issues that differ from women's issues.
This event was quiet in comparison to a similar event last year, where protesters barred the doors of a lecture and pulled the fire alarm. The RSU has not reviewed last year's decision, but Vice President of Equity Regine Hoylette says that men's group often represent more than discussions on health and well-being.
They have those discussions from a very anti-feminist perspective and create very unsafe spaces for women. And then when women would like to speak out, or women-identified folk would like to speak out against some of the problematic discussions that are had, there have been some very violent responses from these men's rights groups.
There is no word on how the group will take shape.
Ouch, this one's gonna hurt. The Ryerson Student Union has been rated the second worst student union in the country for honoring freedom of expression rights. The RSU received a D and an F from the 2013 Campus Freedom Index, which measures the state of free speech of 45 Canadian universities. The report says the RSU failed to implement positive free speech policies and practices because they denied resources to a student group based on their own views. Last March, students who proposed a men's rights group were denied because of alleged affiliation with groups that the RSU had deemed were hate groups. Unclear policies around free speech also factored into the grading. The RSU declined to comment. They tied for second last with six other student unions, including those at McGill, Queen's, and the University of Calgary.
One of the collective agreements here on campus isn't looking so collective. CSAR, the Continuing Education Student Association at Ryerson, locked out two of its full-time employees last week.
It's not a good feeling. You definitely feel undervalued as a staff member because basically your employer thinks that the work that you're providing to students isn't essential.
The two students are represented by the union QP1281, and they aren't backing down.
If they really do care about student rights, if they really do care about fair wages, if you go up to their front desk, they've got, you know, they support the fair wage campaign for the minimum wage, they should support it here.
CSAR was unable to comment on the issue, but said in an email that no changes to their services will be made.
Remember Ryerson's new yellow road? It's hard not to. This summer, Ryerson spent $25,000 on painting Gould Street yellow, but now they're going to be shelling out some green, $175,000 worth. Gould and Victoria are getting new, more durable coats of paint. It's the same type of paint used on the streets in New York's Times Square. It won't erode or collect dirt as quickly. And the new paint job is going to be a bit more artsy. It's being painted to resemble Moss Park Creek, a river that once flowed through the area. But this isn't the end of the road for Gould Street. Ryerson says they hope to work with the city to repave the road in the future.
CASA has student mental health on the brain. This year, the Canadian Alliance of Student Association members are focusing on mental health in universities across the country. This effort includes campaigns against the stigma associated with mental health through a partnership with the Mental Health Commission of Canada. The Alliance is creating a policy on mental health and mental illness on campuses put together by gathering data and statistics. And working with the University of PEI Student Union regarding mental health and accessibility to post-secondary education. CASA's full list of goals for this year can be viewed on cupwire.ca.
And the Sam Sign saga continues. Counselors, Ryerson officials, and even Mayor Rob Ford voiced their opinions about where to put the Sam the Record Man sign.
I think we've narrowed it down to either going back to the original 347 Yonge or Gould Street.
My amendment will basically continue to hold Ryerson's feet to the fire, and Ryerson, to their great credit, has never abdicated that responsibility.
No consensus was reached, but Councillor Wong Tam's amendment will be considered by council at the meeting tomorrow. And some people, like musician Rockin' Ronnie Hawkins, who is a good friend of Sam's, thinks the sign should go back up.
I said, hook her up there and start selling records.
If Councillor Wong Tam's amendment passes, it could still be at least a year before the sign is seen on any building in Toronto.
Ryerson students are heating up about the constant chill in campus buildings. Samuel Guiguerre, a third-year nursing student, says he's done summer classes and it's always freezing. Alan Fung is an air conditioning and control system specialist for the Ryerson Center for Urban Energy. He says that because the entire system is on a schedule, there may not be enough steam for heating right now. The goal is to have all campus buildings between 22 and 23 degrees. For newer buildings like the Ted Rogers School of Management, modern control systems make this easy. But for older buildings like Care Hall and the Rogers Communications Center, it's harder to hit the target. The air conditioning won't be turned off until mid-October.
Five professors with McMaster University's DeGroote School of Business have been suspended with pay for toxic behavior. These suspensions come after more than a year of disputes. The complaints were filed by and against faculty in the business school. It's believed they are related to the resignation of former business school dean Paul Bates. Controversy over his resignation is said to have caused a rift in the faculty. An anti-discrimination tribunal released a 26-page public report on the disputes. It included testimonies from 65 witnesses and concludes that the professors committed serious and multiple acts of misconduct that led to a hostile work environment. Their identities are being kept confidential.
And now we're joined by Kim Brown, who was in Kingston this weekend covering the Queen's Invitational Men's Basketball Tournament. Hi, Kim. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great, Amanda. Thanks for having me.
So first off, can you tell us a bit about the tournament?
Sure. So it's still a preseason tournament. It's kind of getting the guys warmed up for the season. They each played three games, so there's four teams in total. Our guys played every day at 4 p.m., which was a little bit different because usually they play later at night. So there was some concern that they'd get a little bit bored and be tempted to do homecoming parties afterwards, but they were good. They were great. And they ended up winning all three games, so they were victorious.
Wow, that's great. So how was it traveling with the team?
They're a great bunch. A little bit quiet. They were quite somber in the morning, so we had to get them up before we got off the bus to play. But once they got into it, they're really energetic. They gel really well. They added four new guys, and they all seem like one cohesive team. They're a lot of fun, too.
So who are the new players on the team?
We have Kadeem Green, which is he has NCAA experience, so he's playing in the States for a while and made the decision to come here. So we're pretty lucky to have him. He's about 6'9", so he's our biggest guy.
Wow.
We also have Adam Vall, Jean-Victor Mukama, and Adika Peter McNeely is our fourth guy. So they all got playtime. They all performed great. And I think they will definitely add value to the team this year.
So we heard that you spoke with the coach. What did he have to say?
Yeah, Roy, well-known coach in Toronto, he is always focused on playing one game at a time. So he'll never say, you know, this is our biggest competition. He's always focused on this game. And he's really getting the guys to be aggressive, act as soon as they can so the other team doesn't have the chance to set up in the paint.
And has he been coaching the team for a long time?
He has. I don't know the exact years, but he's been with us for quite a while.
And how has the team been doing so far? I know it's still preseason, but... Have they been doing well?
Yeah, they've been doing great. They lost their very first game at the end of the summer, but that's partially due to four of their core guys were out due to injury. So then they had a recent game at the end of September, and they won that, and then they won all three games this weekend.
And how is it for the team playing away from home? I can imagine that might be a bit stressful.
I think it's a challenge with any sort of athlete. I think one of their biggest struggles is balancing school with playing. So a lot of them have midterms coming up this week, some of them tomorrow or today. So they were talking about pulling all-nighters, which would really suck after a tournament. But this is also good for them in that it's the best time for them to gel and really get to know one another.
And how was the experience for you covering a team abroad?
I think I got incorporated in that bonding a little bit too, because I spent so much time with them. I had a lot of fun. It is tiring, even for me, and I wasn't doing anything. So I can only imagine how tired they feel.
Great. So where can we catch them next?
Their next game isn't until October 18th, and they'll be playing away in Montreal. So that will be their first season opener.
Great. Thanks for bringing us up to date, Kim.
Thank you, Sam and Amanda. I was happy to be on the show.
Well, that's it for this week's Ryersonian podcast. I'm Samantha Fernandez.
And I'm Amanda Klein. Tune in 2 weeks for more Ryerson and Canadian University news.
Have a great Thanksgiving.